So I gave you time to get yourself settled, get your pen, get your Bible out, Deuteronomy chapter 20. Y'all ready? Deuteronomy chapter 20. I want to read verses 1 to 4 to kind of get a running start into where we were last week. We only got 4 verses in, and today we're going to get a few more verses in, but there's a lot happening here in Deuteronomy 20, and I don't want to skip it. There's going to be times here soon where we take large portions of Scripture, but right now we're going to narrow in on a few verses here. So Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1, is everybody there? Say amen. It says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. Why? Verse 4, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now, that's where we were last week. We spent a lot of time talking about that. When the saints go marching in, right? That's kind of what we were talking about. It's time to face the battle. If you remember, you don't have to fight the battle. You just need to show up. And if you ever find yourself in a spot where you feel like God's not fighting your battles, then the odds are you're on the wrong battlefield, right? We kind of went into a lot of that last week. And so I want to just notice something here. It says in verse 2, and it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle that the priests shall speak. You see that? That the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Now, God wanted the priests to speak. Why? Because they're engaged in spiritual warfare. Remember, we talk about battles. We're not in battle against flesh and blood. We're fighting things that we should not be fighting. We fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we fight a spiritual warfare. And so God's making sure the nation of Israel understands, hey, this is a spiritual fight. God's going to fight for you. He's going to be with you. All right. So he singles out the priests and says, okay, spiritual leaders, I want you to remind the people you're in a spiritual warfare. Now we find ourselves in verse 5. In verse 5, it says, and the officers shall speak unto the people, saying. All right. So now the priests have had their speak. And then as soon as the priest is down, now the officer slides in and says, okay, now we're getting ready to go to war, everybody. And now I just want to make sure everybody understands this. Look what he says in verse 5. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house, and he hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard, and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. Verse 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brother's heart faint as well as his heart. And it shall be when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. All right, so that's as far as we're going to get today, that we're going to be moving, and we're going to be moving rather quickly. But I'm really praying is that we get some peace today in our world. My prayer is that we get some peace and comfort, because how many of you would say, I feel overwhelmed at times. I feel like my schedule is just bogging me down. I feel like I feel like I'm over here, and I'm over here, and I'm over here, and I'm over here, and I feel like I'm doing a whole lot of stuff, and not a whole lot's getting done. Anybody? Anybody? Krista is like, boom, boom! That is me. I fit that. All right, so in verses 1 to 4, he's making mention, hey, there's a battle. Everybody needs to show up to the battle, and everybody needs to fight. We do that in tandem. We don't do it on our own. Well, that's great, and here's what some people heard. I guarantee you heard this. You maybe not have verbalized it. You heard, man, I got to get more busy. All I heard was more busyness. All I heard is more responsibility. All I heard was now I got to do more on top of everything that I'm already doing. Now Pastor Tony's up there telling me I got to go do this in tandem with everybody else. That's more than I can handle. What do I do? Well, that's why we have verses 5 to 9. That's why God gave us verses 5 to 9. Because I want you to imagine something for a moment. Imagine, now, these warfares are a little bit different than the warfares that we fight, right, today. We have tanks and battleships, and we have all those different things. Back then, It was mano a mano. You line up here, I line up here, and we shoot arrows and stab each other, and we just face each other. That's the battle that he's talking about. And so they would line up for these battles. Now, can you imagine, as you're marching into battle, you look over to your right, and there's a guy going, he's a little juggler, right? He's just juggling on his way to battle. He's like, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and just juggling. You look like a fool. Can I get an amen? You look like a fool. And I think that's how some of us are feeling. You ever seen those guys on stage where they got these little posts on and they got little plates on top of those posts and they're kind of spinning them up? You know what I'm talking about? Jared Larkey talks about this every once in a while. He goes, man, I just feel like I'm that guy that's running from here to here to here just trying to keep the plate spinning. Well, today's message is when the juggler goes to war. Because often we find ourselves in spiritual warfare and yet we're not standing and watching God go to battle. We're not standing and watching God get the victory. We're not standing against the wiles of the devil. We're not standing there with our shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and our sword of the Spirit. We're not standing with any of that. All we're standing there with is responsibility. All we're doing is standing there and we feel like the world is crashing down around us and I'm trying to keep everything going at the same time and I can't handle one more thing. That's why God gave us verses 5-9. And I'm praying that we have some peace in the midst of all this because we tend to compartmentalize our lives. We do. We tend to compartmentalize our lives, especially men. We're really guilty of this, right? We can compartmentalize our lives so much so that nothing ever bleeds into another thing. And ladies, you have a more different way of approaching life, right? Where everything is connected, and I get all that. But yet, when it comes to spiritual warfare, everybody tends to compartmentalize everything. I don't got time for that. I have to do this. I don't have time for this. I have to do this. I don't have time. I can't, again, engage in here. I can't meet for prayer. I can't do this. I can't do that because I've got all this responsibility. That's why God says the officers need to speak unto the people. In verse 5. Speaking to the people. Why? Because we may be engaged in spiritual warfare, but we have physical responsibilities to juggle, don't we? Yeah, it's spiritual, and yet every day I'm walking in the flesh. Every day I'm dealing with life. And how do I handle a spiritual battle while juggling physical responsibilities? And we're going to get into that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4 says this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." So if you're going to be a good soldier, if you're going to have a good warfare, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy, if you're going to have a good warfare, then you can't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. So you can either be on the battlefield or you can be handled in life, but you can't be doing both at the same time, right? So that's what a good soldier does. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize, so run that you may obtain, right? I've been watching the Olympics. Anybody else watching the Olympics? Some of you are like, I can't find the Olympics. Good luck. You're not going to find them on TV much, right? So I've been watching those, and man, I just love the track and field. It just, because I'm a chunky monkey, and I don't run, but I sure like to live vicariously through somebody else who does, right? And so I just love all the blood, sweat, and tears, and the effort, and they run, and they're not there to just run. They're running because they expect to win the race. If you're not expecting to win the race, then why are you running? That's why you're never going to see me down at the track just kicking it on a Tuesday afternoon, running, because there's no point in it for me. If there's no race, I ain't running. All right, so run that you may obtain, verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, I'm not too hot, I'm not too cold, I'm balanced. The most effective athletes are those who don't get too high and those who don't get too low. They are temperate. And sometimes we get defeated in battle before we even show up because we're overwhelmed and we're not temperate. We have no expectations of winning. We hardly even have that expectation to show up, right? And so the officer speaks and says, okay, verse 5, let's spend some time here. Because what happens when I'm facing the spiritual battle and yet I'm juggling my home? That's your blank. I'm juggling my home, verse 5. And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicated. So you have the whole army getting ready to go into this war. It's a spiritual warfare, and yet they're getting ready to march off into war, and the officer says, hey, yo, if you built a new house and you haven't dedicated it yet, I need you to leave the battlefield and I need you to go home. You need to dedicate it, because if you don't, there's potential you're going to die on this battlefield and somebody else is going to have to slip in and do the dedicating. Now, we hear the word dedicate and we think Christian. We think, well, I'm going to dedicate this to the Lord and do it. Yeah, that's it. But this word dedicate is translated as train up. Remember that passage? In Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way it should go. It's the exact same word, dedicate. And the idea is not that you're just saying, this house is for the Lord. No, the idea is that you're focusing, you're directing the attention of your home, you're ordering your home. So that's your next blank. I have the responsibility. I have the responsibility to make sure my home is ordered. Listen, there's warfare happening. And you can rest assured that the war never stops, right? There's little mini battles, but the war never stops. But I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to make sure your home is ordered. In other words, it's focused, it's trained, it's dedicated to one function and one focus function only, and that is to accomplish the mission that God has given us. Amen, church? Amen, church? It's our responsibility to focus our home, to make sure that it is ordered. Joshua 24, verse 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had to make the choice, and he's telling the people, you better make the choice for yourself, but as for me and my house, this is the direction we're going. In other words, I'm dedicating my house. I'm focusing my house. I'm training up my house. I'm discipling my house. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, one that he's talking about the qualifications of a pastor, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children subjection with all gravity, for if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? It's implied. It's implied that there's responsibilities in the church, no doubt, but there's also responsibility at home. It's your responsibility to take ownership of it and make sure that it's ordered. So let's take it a step further then. Because now you have all these people who showed up for the battle. Praise the Lord. They showed up for the battle, and the officer said, wait a second, if you're here and you haven't dedicated that new home, if your home is out of order, then you're out of order. Get home. Focus on that. Focus on the home. Here's your next point. I have the responsibility to refocus my home when there's an area that needs spiritual discipleship. And so, when you hear spiritual warfare, when you hear today, when you hear, man, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm really busy. I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to do this. Let me ask you this question. Is there an area in your home that needs some discipleship? Is there an area in your home that needs some spiritual direction? Is there an area in your home that is not fully dedicated to the Lord, is not dedicated to the mission? Then can I just say, direct your attention to that. Focus on that. Some of us need to go home and readdress the home and refocus the home. Why? Why is it so important? Why would the officer say, I want to fight with less? Because he's already fighting with less if you're not engaged in the war. If you're on the battlefield worrying about what's happening at home, you're going to die. And you just might take your brother or sister with you. So it's important, go home and focus on that. Deal with that. Why? Here's your next point. When my home is focused, listen, when my home is focused, I am free to focus on the battle without distraction. You see, it's implied. It's implied that this soldier goes home, dedicates the home, and then returns to battle. Right? He's not saying go home and kick up your feet and grab a little lap blanket and watch Netflix all day. That's not what he said. The idea is that you go home and you dedicate the house. The idea is you go home and you disciple the house. And you go, okay, well, we focus on the mission, everybody? Everybody go in the same direction, okay? Now I can go forward in the battle and without distraction. I don't have to be worrying about my home. I can worry about what's facing me. Everybody with me? So it's implied that you go and deal with the thing at home and then you get right back on the battlefield with your brother and sister in Christ. When my home is focused, I'm free to focus on the battle without distraction. And here's what some people are going to do. Well, Tony said to go home. I can check out. That's not what I said. Your home is not an excuse to avoid the battle. It is not an excuse to avoid the battle. The reason I have a home that needs ordered and focused is because there's a mission to accomplish. I put this out on social media this week. We're really good at teaching our children to sing songs like I'm in the Lord's Army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, and shoot the artillery. We can teach our kids that. I may never zoom or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's Army. Yes, sir. And we have them singing, we have them marching, and we never once lead them into battle. All we're doing is teaching them songs. And we're not teaching them how to be soldiers. We're failing if we do that. Be careful that we're not just teaching little songs and little ditties, and we're not just coming to church to hear a little message and then go home and just go about our business. No. The idea is that we're training and we're ordering our home and we're discipling it, giving it direction and not hiding behind our front door. It is not an excuse to just stay home from the battle, because here's what you got to get. You have to get this, because when you are focused on the home, the battle is raging. And I say it like that because it's got two meanings. When you're not on the battlefield, you're on the battlefield at home. Amen. And when you're not on the battlefield and you're focusing on home, your brothers and sisters in Christ are out here on the battlefield too. So when you're at home, the battle is raging. It is raging. And we got to understand that. Remember this. Here's your next blank. I am always building my spiritual house. I'm always building my spiritual house. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Listen, yes, you need to focus on your home. Yes, you need to dedicate it. Yes, you need to train it. Yes, you need to make disciples at home. You disciple the home and get it focused on the mission so that you can fight the battle with your brothers and sisters in Christ without distraction. But at the same time, you are always building your spiritual home. There's a judgment seat of Christ coming. And you're always investing in your spiritual house, spending time with the Lord, fellowshipping with Him in your own spiritual house. And I think sometimes we get so focused on the battle, so focused on the fight, that we forget to get in the Word and on our knees in prayer personally. He was just talking about that, right? We got to be in the book. We got to be in the Word of God together, because here's the danger. Notice this at the end of verse 5. End of verse 5, it says, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Here's the danger. If I don't disciple my home, then I can be sure somebody will. Did you get that? If I don't focus my home, media will. If I don't disciple my kids at home, the school system will. Social media will. You are always being discipled, and somebody's always trying to train up and to teach, right? And if you're not going to do it, then somebody will fill that void. Amen. That is the truth. So if I don't disciple my home, then somebody will, guaranteed. And so don't feel guilty, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Don't feel guilty. Man, I understand. But brothers and sisters in Christ are doing this, but man, my home's a wreck. I feel like we've just lost our way. Then focus on that. Go to war there. And then hightail it back with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't hide behind the door. Don't use that as an excuse to just kick back your feet and do nothing. Well, Pastor Tony said I'm supposed to focus on my house. Yeah, direct it, get it mission-minded, and get after it. So you can focus without distraction. Okay. So now, wow, I'm no longer juggling that. Now I'm at peace. Oh, wow, I could just focus on my house. I could go to war here. Praise the Lord. All right, well, the other area that we juggle with, verse 6. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. You know what we're talking about here? We're talking about provision. So I'm juggling my job. You ever feel like that? Whoa, you ever feel like that? Where the job is just eating you alive? Where it's devouring you? Where it's consuming you? Listen, the idea is you planted a vineyard and you haven't eaten of it. So why are you not enjoying the provision that God has given you? Why aren't you dealing with the provision that God has made for you? All right. So I have a responsibility. Here's your blank. I have a responsibility to make sure my home is provided for. Did you get that? Whose responsibility is it? It's the United States government. No, it's not. It's yours. It is your responsibility to make sure that your home is provided for. First, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were yet with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Oh, you're not going to work, you're not going to eat. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Your job is to provide for your home. Which now they're on the battlefield and the officer says, hey, has anybody not provided for your home while you're out here doing this thing? Have you left your family high and dry while you're over here doing this thing? Then you better get home and provide for it. You better go deal with that. Here's your next blank. I have the responsibility to focus on my home when there's a need to be supplied. Now, I did not make this a blank, but I want to encourage you, maybe underline that word need. Notice, he didn't say, soldiers, line up. How many of you have a want? How many of you have a bunch of toys that you've not paid for? How many of you have some things you've not done at the house you really, really want to do? That's not what he's saying. He said it's about provision. It's about need. And so if you find yourself in a spot where you're busy over here and yet you're distracted because there's a need at home that hasn't been provided for, then can I just say be at peace and go handle that need? Go supply it. Go provide for that need. I'm not talking about wants. I'm talking about needs. There's no reason to be distracted for a want. Wants are enjoyable things that you should enjoy, and enjoy those things when you're not on the battlefield, when there's no fight happening, right? Enjoy. Have fun. Enjoy, man, enjoy your stuff. But if you're distracted because there's a need at home, be at peace. Go handle the need. You don't have to juggle that. Why would you juggle that? Why would you be at odds? Well, I got to be over here. No, you need to be over there. There's a need. It's not. You don't even have to question that. Just go handle the need. Go do it. Here, get this. Because it's implied you handle the need. You go eat from the vineyard and you go. And you go right back to the battlefield with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what's implied. Here's your next plank. When my home is supplied, I am free to supply the battle without distraction. When my home is supplied, when everything is there that needs to be there, then I don't have to worry about it. I'm free to be back in the battle without distraction. Well, just like we talked about with the home, this is important to get as well. My job is not an excuse to avoid the battle. Because there may be somebody in the room going, that's right, fear God, work hard, brother. Work hard. Be a workaholic. Hold on. I've seen a lot of houses destroyed because of workaholics. Well, I'm providing. No, you're running away from home, and you're running away from your responsibility, and you're hiding behind a job instead of handling what you need to handle. And so be careful that we don't do that. My job is not an excuse to avoid the battle, to become some workaholic, having this weird little vision that I'm providing for my family. No, you're avoiding the family and you're avoiding the job. You're avoiding the mission. Be careful. Tony says, I can't have overtime. That's not what I said, right? You know what I'm talking about. You're picking up what I'm putting down. Right, the reason I have a job is to supply both my family, both my home, and the mission. That's why God gave us a job. The lost don't understand that. They can't grab that. They don't understand giving to the local church. They don't understand missions-minded. They don't understand that. That's fine. They're not supposed to. You are. The reason we have a job is to supply for the home and to supply for the mission. So get this. When you're at work and when you're clocked in and you're in on the job, the battle is raging. The battle is also raging. That's where you fight the battle, is at work sometimes. Right? I wish I could be over there. I wish I could be doing that. I wish I could be over here doing that, but I've got to be doing this because there's a need. Okay, then fight the battle there. But at least be on the battlefield while you're focused on that. So here's the danger. Remember this. I'm always on the battlefield when I'm on the clock. When you're on the clock, you're always on the battlefield. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 and 24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Did you know this? When you're on the clock and when you're punched in at that job that you absolutely can't stand, or you're doing whatever it is that you're doing that hard work, you aren't serving that employer. You are serving the Lord as you serve that employer. Your heart has to be, wait, I'm serving the Lord here. Right? Why? Because God gave me this job to supply for my home and to supply for the mission. And so I want to be serving the Lord. But notice this in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, it doesn't really matter what it is you do. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Why? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So anytime you punch in, you are on the clock, you are on the battlefield. You're on the battlefield. Which takes me to this, verse 6. End of verse 6. Lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. Here's the danger. If I don't enjoy the fruits of my labor, then I can be sure that somebody will. Church, please get that. If I don't enjoy the fruits of my labor, then I can be sure that somebody will. Yes, my job provides for the home and the mission, but I don't provide for my job. And I think it's easy for us to feel like we're juggling things all the time because we're a slave or we're a servant to the job instead of the Lord. We're often sold out to a job that would replace you in an instant. I gotta go hard. I gotta work hard. Yeah, be the hardest worker you could possibly be. Don't be lazy. I can't stand that. Don't be lazy. Work hard, no doubt about it. But you're working for the Lord. And we work so hard for companies that would replace us like that. We serve the Lord. So, man, that should be freeing. It's like, wait a second. I'm stressing about a job that I don't need to be stressing about. God gave me that. God's going to provide for me and provide for the mission. Praise the Lord. But I'm not sacrificing for that job because that job ain't sacrificing for me. I can guarantee you that. But I promise you that if you're not partaking of those fruits, somebody else is. Like when you pay your taxes, somebody else is partying on that, right? When you do this and you do that, man, somebody else is enjoying the fruits of your labor. Why aren't you? And did you work hard? Has God provided? Did God give you abundance with that? Enjoy that. And some of us, we can't have fun. We can't enjoy anything. We can't just chill for a moment. We just can't relax sometimes. This guy is guilty of that. I got people all the time. You need to take a break. My family's got, my son's like, you just never chill out. I'm sorry. I struggle with that sometimes. I'm just on the go all the time, and I want to be mission-minded. All right, quickly, let's move forward. Let's move to verse 7. Because it says, and what man is there that hath betrothed the wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, and lest he die in the battle, another man take her. So, they're all up there getting ready to fight. The officer walks by and goes, dude, aren't you supposed to be like getting married in like 3 days? Why are you here? You don't need to be on the battlefield. You're getting ready to be married. Why are you here? This makes no sense. Go home because you might die. Somebody else is going to be married to her. You better be careful, man. It's like, what are you? Go home. Right? I think you guys know where we're going for this next one. Juggling my marriage. or juggling my family, or juggling whatever. You fill in your own blank. Juggling my marriage, juggling my family. Listen, this is your blank. I have the responsibility to make sure that I prioritize my marriage. Maybe you need to put in family, because some of you are like, I'm single. I don't have a marriage. I'm not married. No, but one day you might be. And now's the time to be prepared for it. Right? I have the responsibility to make sure that I prioritize my marriage. That I prioritize my family. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. Doesn't say, endure your wife. Doesn't say that, does it? Says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. Doesn't say, put up with her until the end. It doesn't. And there's so many marriages that are enduring till the end. Your job is to prioritize your family. Your job is to prioritize your marriage. Now look at this, verse 9 again. Live joyfully with thy wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity. In other words, the way you live in your life, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life. If you're married, look over at your spouse and say, you're my portion, baby. You're my portion, baby, in this life. If you're single, say in your heart, Lord, I want a double portion. give me a double portion, baby. I want that. All right. Listen, your job is to prioritize that marriage. Your job is to prioritize that family. But it says live joyfully. And I think sometimes we're so busy chasing the job, so busy providing, so busy about the mission that we neglect our family, we neglect our marriage. I promise you, Satan is grinning ear to ear in the midst of it all. Next plank, I have the responsibility to focus on my marriage when it's no longer the priority. And so, if you are self-analyzing now, you're looking at your home and go, wait a second, my home is mission-minded. All the needs are met, is being provided for, and yet I feel like I haven't been making my marriage the priority. Then can I just say, be at peace and focus on that? Focus on her. Focus on him. Spend some time having a conversation. That might mean scheduled intimacy. It might mean, I understand our audience, so I'm being very careful, right? It might mean date nights. It might mean weekend getaways. It might be, no, here's the next thing. It might be making sure the children in the home understand that your marriage is more important at the time, right? When I walk through the door, I try to find my wife before I talk to my kids. My dog is nipping at my heels. I want to make sure there's an order in my house. I want to run to my wife and then my children and then my dog, right? I want there to be an understanding of the order in my home, because my kids are going to launch off one day and I'm going to look across the table and go, who are you? No, I want to know that we're enjoying each other. I want to know that we're spending time with each other. I want to know that we're in mission together. Focus on that. Make that the priority. Why? Here's why. Because it's implied that you go home and you make that the priority, then you get back with your brothers and sisters in Christ and focus on the battle together. That's what's implied. Here's your next point. When my home prioritizes my marriage. Notice how I said that. When my home prioritizes my marriage. We, the home, the marriage, are free to focus on the mission together. And so many times, people they're serving and they're running to the job because their marriage is a mess. And instead of dealing with it, instead of prioritizing it, they prioritize everything else, and they're distracted all the time. But when my home prioritizes my marriage, we're free to focus on the mission together. Now, get this. My marriage is not an excuse to avoid the battle either. You know, hey, where are they? Well, they're having another date night, right? They're gone again. You know, people hide behind that as well. Man, the reason I'm married is because I need a spouse. I need a helpmate to help me accomplish the mission that God has given us. The idea is that we are serving the Lord together. The idea is that we join in the battle together. The idea is that we're in mission and on task together. Now, quickly, remember this. We are always a picture of our relationship Christ has with the church. My marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Now, quickly, Ephesians 5, 31 through 32. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, get this. This is important. Danger. Danger. Will Robertson. Danger. If I don't make my spouse a priority, then I can be sure that somebody will. Can I get an amen? I see it happen all the time. If I don't make my spouse a priority, if I'm always gone, if I'm not meeting her needs, if she's not meeting his needs, it's not going to be long until somebody will come in and be willing to fulfill that need. Be willing to slide in and say, oh, they're not providing that. He's not doing that. She's not doing that. Then let me be that one. There will be somebody who will step in. I promise you. See it all the time. He says, lest thou die in battle and another man take her. Satan drives a wedge. Satan will do everything he can to drive a wedge between a husband and a wife through bitterness, through absence, through apathy, through busyness, through abstinence, through all kinds of different ways. Satan will do everything he can to drive a wedge. He will do it. And if you're not going to prioritize your spouse, then somebody else will. That's why so many men struggle with pornography. Ladies, that's why some of you struggle with pornography. That's why you would never cheat on your spouse, but you would have an emotional relationship with somebody at work or whatever. Be careful. Be careful. We're on the battlefield. And if you ever feel like you're not prioritizing your family, you're not prioritizing your spouse, then get home and focus on that. And one is refocused and reprioritized hand in hand. Let's get busy on the battlefield. Let's get after it. Now, quickly, and I mean quickly, quickly, these are going to go fast. Right? Verse 8 and 9, let me just read them, and then I want to make some points and we'll be done. Verse 8, and the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. And it shall be when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. Right, so now we're talking about a whole different group. Now the officer walks by and goes, how many of y'all are scared? You're faint-hearted. Guy raises his hand and goes, go home. I don't really care what you do there. Just go home. We don't need you here. Because what you're dealing with is those who are scared. Now, let's make some practical applications because there's going to be times. There's going to be times when it seems like others aren't fighting beside you. There's going to be times where you are engaged, right? You've prioritized your home, your marriage. Everybody's on the same path, and we're serving Jesus together. The house is provided for. The needs are met. The house is focused on mission. And yet, you're going to be after it. And you're going to be looking around going, well, why aren't they here? Why aren't they here? Why aren't they here? Where's this person? Why aren't they fighting here? Why aren't they showing up? Let me give you some reasons why they aren't there. Let me give you some reasons why. Number one, if you give your life on one battlefield, it would cause you to neglect the others. If you give your life on this battlefield, in other words, you die in, somebody else has got to slide in, you are neglecting everything else. All right, so let me take it one step further. So if someone isn't fighting, this is so important, guys. If someone is not fighting beside you here, it may be because they're fighting beside someone over there. Don't just assume that because they're not beside you, that they're not fighting a battle. Amen? Don't just assume that, well, they didn't show up. No, they showed up at home. No, they showed up on the job. No, they showed up over here. They showed up over there. And soon enough, they'll have that ship right, and they'll be right back beside us. So don't just assume that they're not here, they're not doing anything. They may just be fighting over there. takes you to the next point. There are some who are hiding over there because they refuse to fight beside you here. We call that AWOL, right? We call that absent without leave. We call that they looked for an excuse and they found it, and they're just not willing to show up. They'd rather sit on home and watch Netflix and watch YouTube or watch TV with their life. I can't help you with that. Some people aren't fighting because they chose not to. That's just reality. This last one. There are those who are invited not to fight beside you here. Why would you ever not want somebody to be beside you in battle? Why would you ever invite them not to be there? Well, here's why. They aren't invited because they have a potential to lose heart all the time. And because they have a potential to be fearful and to faint-hearted, there's potential for that to infect everybody else. And they aren't invited because they have potential to cause their fellow soldiers to lose heart. I can't stress this enough. It's better to be on the battlefield without a fear-filled brother or sister than to be discouraged by them. It's better sometimes to be out there with just a few than to have somebody else that's going to bring everybody else down. It's just better sometimes. And I notice that the verse 9 will be done. And it shall be when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. Now notice this. They didn't just sit there going, well, if he went home, I can go home. If he went to work, I can go to work. If he's focused on his wife, why can't I be focused on my wife? Notice this. Instead of searching for an excuse not to fight, it's better to develop a plan to fight more effectively. In other words, the entire army was presented with the reality that there's a potential for us to feel like we're juggling and going into war, juggling the home and juggling the job and juggling the family. And what he did in verses 5-9 is he just said, you don't have to juggle all that stuff because it's all the same fight. It's all the same battle. And sometimes you need to fight on multiple fronts, and sometimes you need to abandon one front and just focus on one. That is reality. But instead of looking for an excuse not to fight, when everybody else is left, and there's now just a few left remaining, they didn't look for an excuse. They said, we need a plan to be more effective here. We're going to need some captains. We're going to need some train some leaders. We're going to need to get after it. In other words, so if you feel like you're juggling, and you feel like you're all over the place, and you feel like, man, I just don't think I can do one more thing. It's because you're doing everything, we need to be focused over here. Or maybe you need to be focused over here. But can I just encourage you, stop juggling and just stop for a second and get some captains in your life. Get some perspective and begin to plan. And how can I accomplish all of it? What God has given me responsibility for, and just do it instead of juggling it all. Everything's got its role. Everything has its place. And when anything gets out of balance, when I'm no longer temperate, I got to remind myself to go deal with that. I don't have to be a juggler that goes to war. I can go for the jugular while at war. That's what I can do. Let's stand together. Glad you came. Feel like God spoke to you, maybe? Listen, I know that was a smidget longer than I intended it to be. I'm sorry. That's what God gave me. So I pray that it brings peace to you. I pray that it brings comfort to you. I pray that it gives perspective. And that, man, you don't have to juggle anymore, right? So you have an assignment. You have an assignment today. Go home. Go home. Rest. Focus. Develop some captains. Plan. Prioritize your life. And then let's get after it. right? So college young adults meeting in my house, youth, you're going to be meeting here. But the rest of you, go home. Enjoy the day. Enjoy your family. Chew on these things. Meditate on them. How foolish it would be to hear the word of God and leave unchanged. Don't do that.